With Hashem's loving grace, this is Laser Brody from the Chusha Chesed Yeshiva in the Holy City of Yerushalayim with another one of our Amunah series lessons based on the teachings of our beloved Rabbi and spiritual guide, Rabbi Sholom Arush. May Hashem bless him always. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be gratifying to Hashem, and may today's lesson bring lots of encouragement and happiness for everyone that hears them, particularly everyone here in the land of Israel. And here's our broadcast. We're not going to mince any words today. We're going to talk exactly what's going to happen. Catch the bull by the horns. Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael is in a situation. It's a war. They had a yesterday siren in Yerushalayim. Where I come from, I have the sirens all day long. We had 12 yesterday, 3 this morning. And you can hear the fireworks going on. So we want to get a handle on what's going on from a spiritual standpoint. And today's lesson is entitled, Believe in Yourself. What does it mean, believe in yourself? People, they become worried, upset, stressed, anxious about what's going on. They don't believe that they have a tremendous power. Hashem gives us tremendous power to virtually change things. But the Gemara says that Hashem makes decrees, and the tzaddikim, the righteous people, can cancel out the decrees, nullify them, completely nullify them. We say, who are the righteous? We open up Isaiah the prophet, and he says, Amcha kulam tzaddikim. He says, your entire nation of tzaddikim. All of Am Yisrael. All of Am Yisrael. Every single man and woman in Am Yisrael is a tzaddik, can nullify evil decrees. Nullify evil decrees. Now, people think, wait a second, what's going on over there? There, they're getting shot out in the south of Israel all the time, and people are smiling. Smiling. Well, so maybe it's shell shock, maybe they're, no, it's real smile. It's real smile. You know, and it's not just talking the talk, we walk the walk. But Hashem, so what's happening? What's happening? What's Hashem doing to us? We have to know that everything comes from Hashem. Everything comes from Hashem, and it's all for the best. First, say, what can possibly be best about another war? What could possibly be best? We have to understand that when we don't have the knowledge to truly get close to Hashem on our own, then Hashem helps us. And sometimes it could be a financial problem, sometimes it could be a marital problem, sometimes it could be a problem with the child. Sometimes we have a health problem. Sometimes it's an external problem. Or if you want to see Hashem's love, if you see Hashem's love, people are upset. What's Hashem doing? And the kids wake up in the middle of the night and you have to take them down to the bomb shelter. It's, you know, back and forth and the steps up between them, especially people who live on the top floor and have little children. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But what's Hashem doing? You stop and look. King David says in Psalms, "Betzal el haftali." He says, even within a trouble, Hashem, you show me a great opening. If a person stops and look, okay, let's say yesterday alone in the south of Israel, I'm not sure, one source said 160 missiles landed. Another source said 205 missiles landed. I think the source that said 205 was more accurate. Because I know between 11 p.m. and 12 p.m. last night in my hometown of Ashdod, 12 landed. Out of the 12, 4 of them were picked off by the Iron Dome. And a couple fell on the beach, out of the way places. We see miracles. Miracles. One during the day fell on a kindergarten where there were no children. Another fell on a wedding hall an hour after the wedding was over. You can see. Where can you take people in the world, anywhere, in a place of conflict, in a highly populated area, densely populated, the land of Israel, where you can have a mixture of 205 Grad, Katyusha, Fajr missiles from Gaza, Syria, Iran, and nobody get hurt. There was one person had shrapnel wound scratches. Okay, but I'm talking about significantly hurt. Significantly hurt. It's a miracle. It's something statistically, it's near impossible. It's near impossible. Rav Shalom says, you know what kind of power we have? We don't believe in our power. Rav Shalom says, a Jew with emuna can go outside and hear the missile, wave his hand, and the missiles go. We go somewhere else. The once the Israeli security services, the Shin Bet, they captured a senior terrorist based in Gaza, and they were interrogating the senior terrorist, and the terrorist says, he says, we are very accurate in our missile fire. They're very accurate. He said, the fact that your God takes the missiles and sends them somewhere else, we don't understand that. We see this time and time again. So instead of looking, what's Hashem doing to us? Say, yeah, look what Hashem is doing to us. Look what Hashem is doing to us. And now I tell you a story of my own family. My own family. My daughter, she lives two blocks away. She lives on the top floor of her apartment. She and her three babies, my youngest daughter. And after the first missile fell, and she called me up and she was frantic that I'm supposed to take care of little kids and do that. And then the kids are crying. I said to my daughter, how come the kids are crying? Because they look at your face and you worry. I said, you smile and they'll smile. So she started doing an emuna attitude to the bombs. And her oldest son, he says, just now turning 4 years old. Big responsibility. Hashem has given me, he wants me to grow up and he wants me to take care of my little sisters. So she takes the little baby and he takes one of the little sisters and he takes her by the hand and he says, yeah, there's azakah, there's an alarm. Yeah, we're going down the stairs. We're going down to the bomb shelter. Does it, as a matter of fact, say you're going, you know, we're going to the park. We're going for the walk in the park. No matter how we look at things in a munah, this influences our children, influences everyone around us. This is the power we have, a power of a munah. Now, there was a great tzaddik whose yahrzeit was very recently, last week, the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Let me tell you about the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Yekutiel Halberstam. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, he was a great grandson of the Sanzer Rebbe, and Rabbi Zvi Elimelech of Dinov, the Bnei Yisachar. These are his great grandfathers. The Kloisenberger Rebbe lost a wife and 11 children in the Holocaust. The Kloisenberger Rebbe never, he refused to shave in the Holocaust, refused to shave up his beard. Nazis, they tried to kill him, they couldn't kill him, they couldn't kill him. He was in Auschwitz. The Kloisenberger Rebbe came out of the Holocaust after losing a wife and 11 children, and he built Kiryat Sanz in Netanya. He built Leniato Hospital. He built the orphanage. He built the yeshiva. He built Kiryat Sanz, the entire. And he got remarried, had another 9 children. Today's the Rebbe of Sanz Kloisenberg in Netanya, that's the son of the Kloisenberger Rebbe of saint and blessed memory. And the Sanz Rebbe in New York is one of his other sons. This is the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Look what the Kloisenberger Rebbe says. Kloisenberger Rebbe says, he says, even, he quotes Job. He says, even if someone kills me, I'm still going to yearn for Hashem. He says, even if someone's going to burn me to coal and make ash out of me, I'm not going to budge from my emunah in Hashem. And you're not talking about somebody that's talking nicely. You're talking about someone that's been through Auschwitz and lost a wife and 11 children, dusted himself off, picked himself up, came to Eretz Yisrael, and started all over again. And built what he built. Okay. Kloisenberger Rebbe says, Gamba Yosi be Auschwitz. He says, even when I was in Auschwitz, I would cry out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He says, what are you going to do? Are they going to kill me for it? Kloisenberger Rebbe, Every evening in Auschwitz, when it came time to say Kriyat Shema, he put his hand on his eyes and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. With the capos and the SS and the Nazi, they all heard him. Okay, they're going to kill me. And he did it with a smile on his face. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, the last day of the Holocaust, before the Allies liberated Auschwitz, a Nazi officer, some type of Uberfuhrer, a colonel, told the Kloisenberger Rebbe, get in the Jeep. And he took the Kloisenberger Rebbe for a ride. He was going for a Jeep. And he had a 45 caliber Luger, German Luger. And he put it to the Kloisenberger Rebbe and said, he says, Rabbiner, you think you're a big hero. You're dead, you used to shave, and you yell out your prayers. He says, Rabbiner, do you know the difference between life and death? The difference between life and death is the 2 millimeters that my finger touches this hairline trigger. Kloisenberger said, look, he looked at the Nazi, looked him right in the face. And he exemplifies what Rav Shalom says all the time, that when you fear one, you fear no one. He looked the Nazi right in the face, as a Nazi colonel, and he said, you have no power. I will live until the last moment that Hashem decides I need to be on this earth, and not a moment sooner, and not a moment later. And if Hashem wants, your finger will freeze, your gun will jam, and a million things can happen. Right after the Kloisenberger Rebbe finished talking, the Allies barged through the gate, and the guy was caught. Because this was his emunah. His emunah was so clear to him, was so crystal clear to him. This is our power. But we don't believe in ourselves. We walk around, what do they say? In New York, they have an expression, nibbies. Nibbies, this is from Yiddish, nibbich. Walk around like, I'm miserable. Who am I? What can I do? They say, what can I do? What can I do? What's the book ever says? He says, even it's going to be, you're going to burn to a crisp, he's going to yell, Shema Yisrael, he's going to cling to Hashem. But then the Kloisenberger Rebbe, so what does the Kloisenberger Rebbe say? This is something amazing, and I had prepared an entire different shiur. Today, Rav Shalom, he gave me this Torah by the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and he says, Laser, this is what you say a shiur on today. Okay, this is exactly what you do in the marching order, because this is something that exact addresses what we have to deal with today. And to our beloved brothers and sisters outside of Israel, don't think that this is not your problem. Because until several days ago, there were people in the north of Israel, in the center of Israel, and even in Jerusalem, that say, well, I'm okay again. So the south of Israel is getting bombed. Sderot has a problem. Ashkelon has a problem. Ashdod has a problem. All Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zelazet, all of Israel is guarantors for one another. So people with that attitude, what happens? Now just today, last night, you had a siren right here in Jerusalem. Okay, how did it feel? How did you enjoy your siren, guys? Enjoy it? Okay, it didn't like it too much, all right. So just imagine in the south, when you get one in the hour, and all night long, and what that does. You know, when you get woken up frequently, you don't have a decent night's sleep. It affects a person's productivity, but you have to have a smile on your face. All of a sudden, Tel Aviv area, Jerusalem, today they almost reach Haifa. Zif's got as far north as Caesarea, Zifron Yaakov, Habonim, Hof Habonim. It's almost in the outskirts of Haifa. Okay, it's everybody's problem. And if you're in New York or Miami or LA or London or Manchester or Melbourne or Sydney, it's your problem too. Because all the Jewish people are one hand. All the Jewish people are one hand. And you have an absolute, absolute solemn obligation to pray for the soldiers of Israel, because they're Jewish soldiers. Pray for the people of Israel, Jewish people, you're Jewish outside of Israel. All the Jewish people are one hand. One hand is one body. Okay, have an obligation, because certainly that a Jew can live a certain quality of life outside of Israel because there's a land of Israel, there's people in the land of Israel. And you know that you always have a place to go to. So you have to do, you have to feel, this is just a personal problem. We have to feel that anything that goes on in Klal Yisrael is our personal problem. Just like you know, eventually it pains us to hear what's happening in Paris and what's happening in London and what's happening when a Jew gets hurt out in Brussels and when they outlaw kosher slaughter in Scandinavia, all these type of things, because we're all one people. And especially now we're challenged. So what is Hashem doing to us? What does Hashem teach us? Teach us. The Kreuzberg Rebbe says. And he wrote this. This was in 1981 when he said these things. It was before he left this. 1984. Before the Kreuzberg Rebbe left, I think it's been 20 years ago they left us. The Kreuzberg Rebbe says like this. He says, how do we react on any problem that comes to the Jewish people? The Kol Tzara, any collective problem we have. If there's any collective problem we have, we can all nullify that problem right now. How do we end the war? How do we end the war? In other words, Hamas, so we don't have a problem with Hamas, we have a problem with Hashem. Hamas is like any other evil spiritual force. It could be Hamas, it could be a dangerous bacteria, it could be any number one of what's called dinim, what's called negative spiritual forces that are created by our misdeeds. Okay. Kreuzberger Rebbe says that if anything happens, befalls the people of Israel, okay, then all they have to do is fulfill the words of the Gemara, Brachot, page 54, and say a person is obligated, not that it's a nice thing to do, a person is obligated to make a blessing over the bad with the same attitude that he makes a blessing over the good. With a clear awareness that both come from the same source, from the Almighty on high. And from the Almighty on high, only comes out good. Everything comes from Hashem. And since everything comes from Hashem, and since Hashem is a loving Father, then I have an absolute obligation to thank Him, to praise Him for His goodness. And what is His goodness? That He doesn't forget me and He remembers me. What's going on with that? Suppose Hashem gave us peace, Monte Carlo here, and everybody has perfect health, and everybody has perfect money, perfect marriage, perfect kids. How would the Torah describe us? And the Torah does describe us in Zot HaBracha. Vayishman Yeshuon Vayiva. And Yeshuon, it's a metaphor for the Jewish people, he waxed fat and he kicked. Ooh. So as soon as a Jew feels like it's that city, what happens? Forgets Hashem. The Torah says also in the Devarim, Deuteronomy. V'lamdu b'vavcha v'shachachtet Hashem. And your heart became haughty. And you forgot Hashem. As soon as a person thinks everything is perfect and thinks he's great, says, well, what does he need Hashem for? This is what the Kreuzberg Rebbe is thanking Hashem for. Thanking Hashem. It's amazing. Where did you ever hear anyone say, thank you, Hashem, that you put me in Auschwitz? The Kreuzberg Rebbe says more than that. He says, if people would have listened to me, they would have sang and danced in the concentration camps. Couldn't believe it. You see? He said, if the people would have listened to me, they would have joined me in singing and dancing in the concentration camp. And that way the Holocaust would have been nullified. Nothing in the world invokes divine compassion as emunah. The number one barometer of emunah is when a person knows that everything comes from Hashem and everything is for the best. The Kreuzberger Rebbe says as soon as a person internalizes with full knowledge in his heart, that everything is the best, that whatever trouble he has turns completely around for the good. So for instance, how do I know I internalize? You know when you internalize? Someone asked me today, I had a call from a person in the United States, in Florida, had a very difficult financial challenge, says, Rabbi, how do I know that I trust Hashem? You trust Hashem that when you get the letter from the bank, that you owe whatever it is you owe, $1 million, and your blood pressure doesn't go up. That's internalized. And you know, you react, if this is from Hashem, and this is from Hashem. So Hashem put me in a situation where I need him. Is that good or is that bad? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Rav Shalom says, you know what's going to be in Mashiach? What's going to be Mashiach? Everybody wants Mashiach to come. So what's going to be Mashiach? What are we looking forward to Mashiach? People think, what, they're going to pick up gold on the street? No, it doesn't have to work. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. You're not going to be able to walk into a new car salon and walk away with a Mercedes without paying. No, you still have to pay for that car. You have to still pay at the makolet. The Rambam says, that everything is going to run just like it runs today. You have carpools, you take kids to cheder. But there's going to be tremendous spiritual awareness. Rav Shalom says, when Mashiach comes, the only difference is that everyone is going to know. They're not going to have to believe that it's for the good. They're going to know it's for the good. And that's what the Novi says, Umola Aretz Da'as Hashem. That when Mashiach comes, the entire world will be full of spiritual awareness. Everyone knows that Hashem is going to be good. So what's going to happen? A guy goes to the stock market in Wall Street, or the stock market in Tel Aviv, and he loses 3 million shekels. And he's got a couple of thousand shekels left, that's all he's got in the world. And you get an invitation, you're invited to a celebration tonight. Guy's got a klezmer and a catered dinner, and he's making a sudat hodayah. He's making a Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, the sudo, he'd say, thank you to Hashem. Okay. And say, what's the uncle making this festive dinner for? The uncle says, I lost all my money! I lost all my money! It's a sutta! And he's got a thing, and he's singing and dancing with him. Saying, the uncle, are you crazy? No, he's not crazy. No, now I don't have the money to worry about. I'm going to be able to sit and learn more. I can concentrate on my learning. I don't have to concentrate on this stock and that stock and these bonds and the futures market. Everything may be crazy. No, now I'm going to learn Baba Kama. I'm going to sit in court and learn Baba Kama. And he's singing and dancing. And we'll see. So we'll see. And Yankele, he's got spiritual awareness. Because he realizes his ultimate success in life is getting close to Hashem. He's going to get close to Hashem by learning Torah and learning Emunah. He's not getting close to Hashem by being in the stock exchange or in the futures market or day trading. So Hashem made him lose his money. So then he's got nothing else to do. He's going to be nothing better to do. He figured, okay, if nothing better, then I'm going to go and cuddle. Okay? So why before? I can learn Torah before. Great. So make the thank you to Hashem. He knows this is for the best. Intrinsically, he knows it's for the best. That's what's going to be when Mashiach is here. And this is what the Kreuzberger Rebbe is saying. The Kreuzberger Rebbe is saying as soon as a person thanks Hashem for the apparent bad, just like he thanks Hashem for the good, then turns everything around for the best. Because the declaration, Hashem, you're a loving father. Kreuzberger Rebbe says, never forget this. Never forget this. Hashem is a loving father. And Hashem loves you. And if Hashem is a loving father, he says, wait a second. Kreuzberger Rebbe says, wait, the Hashem is a loving father? Now wait, does the loving father want to kill a son? Loving father doesn't want to kill a son. He knows. Kreuzberger Rebbe says to Hashem, and when you read Shefa Chaim, when you read the writings of Kreuzberger Rebbe, it's amazing the way he talks to Hashem. And that someone else could do it, you know. It seems like chutzpah. He argues with Hashem. Hashem, you got to do this to the Jewish people, you got to do this to Jewish people. But as far as he himself, thanks Hashem for everything. He asks Hashem to give the Jewish people what they conceive, what they perceive to be good. But for as far as himself, he lived a life of perfect emunah with Hashem. And he says, wait a second, Hashem, you're not fooling me. And you talk about when he came out, when did he say these things? He said he's embarrassed to say it. The minhag in Sanz Kloisenberg is they get a nibrit, the Rebbe is all the way back to Rebbe Chaim Sanzer, and the B'nai Yitzchak, Rebbe Tzvi Elimelech Adinov, who was a great Kabbalist, not only a Hasidic Rebbe, a great Kabbalist, they used to get inebriated on Purim. And they have a minhag, a Sanzer minhag, that they mix schnapps with wine. And really blows their brain completely out. And the Rebbe used to put on a garfield and he says, this is the minhag of my forefathers, and I hereby blow my brain away to get close to you, Hashem. And he would drink whiskey and wine and mix it all up. But what comes out of a tzaddik is only good. And he would confess things on Purim. And he wrote this confession down on Purim in 1984 and printed it. And it's amazing. And people would think, but it says that's just word for word what Rabbi Nathan says in the Kutei Halachos in Rabbi Nathan's name. Rabbi Nathan says in the Kutei Halachos that the reason, Rabbi Nathan says in the Kutei Moran, Rabbi Nathan elaborates on it, that the reason for the continued exile of our people is lack of emunah. That if our people would have emunah and they would thank Hashem for everything, for the seemingly bad as well the good, that tomorrow morning there would be redemption. And turns around the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and the Kloisenberger Rebbe says, I could have annulled the Holocaust. If there were other people that would have danced with me and would have thanked Hashem, then the whole thing would have turned on the Nazi's head way back then. People didn't accept it. They thought he was crazy. Kloisenberger Rebbe says, wait a second. Hashem, you can't fool me. You're my father. You're my loving father. A father doesn't kill a son. You didn't put me here to kill you. You put me to sanctify to kill me. You put me to sanctify your name. Hashem, I'm not going to complain because you're not going to fool me and you're not going to hide from me. You are my father. Kloisenberger Rebbe would slap Hashem with a fraternity suit. Hashem, I'm going to drag you in court. You're my father. And I'm not going to let you forget it. And you love me and I know you love me. So what loving father wants to kill a son? And this is what we say right now to our people. Look, Jewish people, open your eyes. What loving father wants to kill his kids? Yesterday, 120 missiles on cities all over Israel and not a single fatality. What are the chances statistically, if you could take the head of the Faculty of Statistics of Yale or Harvard and figure, would you have to take a munitions expert also, somebody's expert in ballistics, and somebody from London Institute of Strategic Studies, and how many one in zillions, quadrillions, in any other place in the world, any other hotspot, where 120 missiles fall and not a single person is killed? Look right now what's happening in Syria, and look in Iraq, and look in Afghanistan, and look everywhere else. Look at the United States. Okay, with their serious killers in the United States. By the way, for those of our quote friends, unquote, that say that the people of Israel should show restraint, I wonder how they would react if those missiles were falling in El Paso or in Miami. Okay, how would they react? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. That's one thing I think is very commendable, that a lot of people were yelling here that the government was showing more and more restraint. But Baruch Hashem, the government should be blessed, and Hashem should give them wisdom to do the right things. And we want to dedicate our lesson today to every one of the IDF soldiers, especially to the soldiers that are serving on the Gaza border and the ones in Iron Dome. If you have to express our gratitude, not only to Hashem, but to our brothers. And the Baruch Hashem, that every person try and get the name of a soldier and pray for the soldier welfare of the soldier. Okay, but we always pray for welfare. So, what does he say? Where does he bring this from? Kreuzberger Rebbe now brings another great Rebbe. And this is all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. This is the Hasidic way of looking at things. The Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech HaZlizensk. Rabbi Elimelech HaZlizensk said, you know something? When I finish my life on this earth, he said this when he was still alive. And wait a second, who is Rabbi Elimelech HaZlizensk? When did he live? He lived in the mid-1700s. You know what it was like for Jews in Europe and the Pale of Settlement in the mid-1700s? It wasn't so good. Okay. And if you would take what you think was civil rights, the way that black people had it in Selma, Alabama in the 1950s, that was luxury compared to the way a Jew had it in Poland, Ukraine, Russia in the mid-1700s. It was rough. It was rough. And the poverty they had, and the way they lived, and the Noam Elimelech and his brother Reb Zusha Nipoli, they would walk in self-given exile as the atonement for the Jewish people. How did they speak? What was their attitude? Always had a smile on their face. Reb Melech, Reb Elimelech Elizens, the Noam Elimelech, he said, when I get called out of this world, and Hashem calls me up, and they're going to say, Melech! Melech, but there's a Lipman, no name, Elimelech, his father's name is Eliezer Lipman. Melech, but there's a Lipman, you are doomed to Gehenna. He says, oh, you're sending me to Gehenna, I want to know one thing. He says, is this a decision of the heavenly tribunal, or is this a decision of Hashem? We said, if it's the decision of Hashem, I'm going to put on my gartle, put on his waistband, and I'm going to put on my shtreimel, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to dance, and I'm going to jump down into the fires of Gehenna with a great big smile on my face. Because if that's what Hashem wants, that means it's the best thing in the world for me. This is Emunah. This is Emunah. That no matter what happens, this is the very best thing in the world for me. This is to bring us closer to Hashem. If you have a health issue with any member of the family, it is the very best thing in the world for your family. If the family has a financial issue, it is the very best thing in the world for the family. And close. Anything you have. You see people with special needs children. I think the most wonderful families I know are the families with special needs children. That doesn't mean that before a child is born, a person said, we ask Hashem for healthy children. But if Hashem decided that a couple has a special needs child, that means that the couple is a special couple, and that they couldn't fulfill their potential and attain their spiritual potential without that special needs child. So people say, how do I cope with the special needs child? How do I cope with the financial problem? How do I cope with the medical issue? You have to believe in yourself. When we believe in yourself, believe in yourself that Hashem gives you power. Not believe in yourself. You believe in the power that Hashem gives you. So what's my power? My power is Emunah. My power is Emunah enables me to do what the greatest tzaddikim in the world can do. As soon as I go with simple Emunah. And we see this. Rabbi Nachman told us. Rabbi Nachman told us a whole story about it. A Chacham B'Tam. The clever and the simple. You got this clever guy, and this clever guy, he's got university degrees, and he's a doctor, and he's a goldsmith, and he has all these professions, and he's money, and a simple guy, the clever guy, is walking around with a 138 IQ, and you got a simpleton that's got maybe an 80-81 IQ. Maybe. And all he can do is learn to be a cobbler. Can knock a nail into leather and wood, like the shoes. And even the shoes he makes, they come out triangular. You can't even a 3-pointed shoe.
And he can't do anything.
And people would laugh at him. His wife would yell at him. The other shoemakers get 2 rubles for their shoes. You get a half a ruble. And he's saying, Zeh ma'aseh she'elo v'zeh ma'aseh she'eli. That's the other guy's doing in this what I do. This is what Hashem gives you to do. He knew this was his very best. He didn't have any questions about Hashem. So meanwhile, the clever guy goes, his intelligence is here. To make a long story short, the clever guy goes down, down, down. He suffers from depression. Nobody likes him. He's never happy with himself. He's all the time persecuting himself. When he succeeds, he has this tremendous, the guy's manic depressive. He's got this major success, and he's up, always up on top of the world. But as soon as he has a setback, oh, what's the matter with me? How could I possibly do it? Because he attributed successes to himself, and he attributed failures to himself. That is heresy. You do nothing. The first thing a Jew believes in is the Rambam, first principle of the 13 of Emunah. He alone, Hashem alone, did, does, and will do. So not upset when another rocket falls from Gaza. That's from Hashem. Okay, Hashem, if it's from you, Hashem, your loving father. You are a loving father. You don't want to kill your children. What father wants to kill a child? What father? No father. And Hashem is a million times more loving than we are. So what's Hashem shooting rockets for? So we get close to him. We need him. Hashem, we need your protection. We need your protection. So you're doing this a favor? Because like the closing for Rebbe, you're doing this, Hashem, because you don't forget. Remember me? Little me. Laser full of us, you remember me. And you're going to make it a whole war to make a rocket. So I got to go, Hashem, protect me, and then we should be healthy. And oh, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Hashem, you come from wherever you are in the world, coming to where I am, to give me a particular difficulty to bring me closer to you. Now we can understand that Gemara Brachos. And very few things that Maran, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who put together the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, very few things that he brings right word for word out of the Gemara. By the time that our sages argue about it, what exactly was this? This opinion, that opinion, and it comes to the Rishonim, the Acharonim. Not a single person argues on this Gemara. That this Gemara in Proverbs 54, that a person must thank Hashem, must bless Hashem. Bless and thank Hashem for the seemingly bad, just like he does for the good. From Yosef Karo takes this section of the Gemara and puts it right in, copy-pastes it into the Shulchan Aruch. Copy-paste. This appears in Or Chaim, chapter 223, clause 3. Right there. Do we have to thank Hashem? Now we can understand why we thank Hashem. Because Hashem is a loving Father, and Hashem loves every one of us. If you forget that, let's do our CT as CT Hashem loves me. Hashem does everything for the best. So now Hashem gives us a chance to prove it to ourselves. And why does Hashem make us learn Emunah fast? No, this is not living room Emunah. Not for us in the land of Israel. Why? Hashem came and said, Hashem, Hashem is impatient. The Garden of Emunah came out 7 years ago. 7 years ago. Everybody had a chance to read it. But people are casual. Person came to me with a particular problem last week, and I said, you know, he won the answer. I said, you got the answer right in the Garden of Emunah. Read this. I told him, what chapter read the Garden of Emunah? I said, you got the Garden of Emunah? He says, yeah, Rabbi, I got it. Yeah, you read it? Page here, page there, skim through it. That's not reading it. No, learn it. When you got your driver's license and they gave you a book of traffic laws and traffic signs to learn, you said, learn page here, page there. Got it on the shelf. So take it down and learn it. Let's see, Hashem is doing you a favor. Why is Hashem doing you a favor? Because he wants you to take that book off the shelf and learn it. So the guy says to me, what do I need to learn it for?
Huh?
What do you need to learn it for? For one reason. Because time is up. Hashem wants to bring Mashiach. Hashem wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. Do you want to know more miracles that Hashem has done? Yesterday, the Gazans, they fired a rocket at Beitar. The rocket missed Beitar. You know where it landed? In Hosan, in the Palestinian Authority. At the entrance of there. Do you know where the rocket landed here in Yerushalayim yesterday? You don't know. Okay, Bo Hashem, we got the... Yeah, it landed in Armona Nasiv, in the forest between there and the Arab neighborhood. Okay. You wonder what's going to do. They're fine. It's going to backfire. Okay, they tried one in Gush Etzion. Didn't land in it. They're going to see. They end up firing themselves. They end up firing, they're shooting themselves in the foot. Hashem not only does miracles, Hashem smiles at us, and Hashem's got a fantastic sense of humor. You have to thank Hashem for everything. There's miracles on miracles on miracles. You go, and each one, it's a miracle. So we thank Hashem. The Kloisterburg Rebbe, he asked a question when he was in his holy inebriation. He says, why is the Megillah of Esther called the Megillah of Esther and not the Megillah of Mordechai? Mordechai is a tzaddik. Mordechai was a tzaddik of the generation. Mordechai was a judge from the remnants of the Sanhedrin. Mordechai became the leader. Mordechai did the miracle. Mordechai, he's the one that told Esther that they were plotting to kill Ahasuerus, that this led afterward. Mordechai was the hero. So why is he called Megillas Esther? When Mordechai heard the evil decree, and this is Kloisterburg Rebbe, he writes this here, I'm taking the whole thing, this got 16 pages of what he said in Purim, he's just pouring out Torah. And every word he says, if a person doesn't know it's a Kloisterburg Rebbe, they could be Rebbe Nathan or Rebbe Nachman. Because word for word, he says things that are in Likutei Moran and Likutei Halachas. Kloisterburg Rebbe says like this. He says, when Mordechai heard of Haman's evil decree to destroy the Jewish people, Chas v'Sholom, Mordechai put on ash and sack the Afer. He sat, the king, he went into mourning. And he said, all the Jewish people have to go and fast. Now, usually, when a woman hears a bad tidings, and this you have to be careful, guys, write this in the Garden of Peace. Okay, only come home with a smile, no matter what happens. We have to strengthen ourselves in Muna. Okay. You don't come home and tell your wife that you were laid off at work. Come on, my God. Hashem is cooking up a better position for us. Because your wife sees when you're confident and you believe in Hashem, she's got nothing to worry about. But if she sees that her husband worries, she's got 10 times more reason to worry. That's nothing. That's the kids look at their parents. We see this now. Practical Amuna 303. You see this. The kids, they look at the mothers and the fathers. How are the parents reacting when the siren goes off and when the bombs are falling? And that kids. And the kids, is this a reason to worry? Is this not a reason to worry? The kids look at the mothers, the mothers look at the fathers. Okay, guys, so it's all, we have to really, really strengthen ourselves. Head of a household. What's it mean to be head of a household? It means that you're the head of the Emunah. That the Emunah of the entire family depends on you. And it's also Hashem teaching us. So, you'd think that a woman, she hears bad tidings, she gets upset. And Esther heard, you know, what's going on, and she'd be really upset. But what was upset, Esther? What did she do? She right away took Shabbos clothes and she took Daniel's hatach. She says, take these down to Mordechai. Get out of here. What's he wearing a potato sack? And what's he got ash on his head for? Put on his Shabbos clothes. Well, Mordechai sent the Shabbos clothes back to Esther and he says, you don't understand what's happening. Esther did understand what's happening. Mordechai said there's a terrible decree on the Jewish people. But Esther disagreed with him. She says, that's not the way to do it. What did Esther do? She went to drink wine with Ahasuerus and Haman. Okay? Esther sang and danced. She said, thank you to Hashem. She said, thank you to Hashem. The Kloisterburg Rebbe says, the end. Okay, she had to Mordechai the tzaddik, and she couldn't go against the tzaddikim. So she agreed to do things. But she disagreed with him. She says, no, I don't agree with the way you're handling it. I don't agree with the fast. I'll fast, okay? You told me to fast. You know, fast for me so I don't get killed when I walk into the king, because I haven't been invited. But Esther says, Vatik halchel amalka. And Esther shuddered. She shuddered that Mordechai was accepting the decree with fasting and with mourning and with yelling. Vatizak, and Mordechai gave a yell, Vatizak! A mourning type yell. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Esther says, no. What is she doing? She's doing everything for the best. Put on your Shabbos clothes and dance. And Rav Shalom said in the morning, Rav Shalom said, if people listen to him, you know what you're supposed to do when the siren goes off? Start dancing. The rocket's from you, Hashem. It's a great thing. And if you can sincerely dance when the siren goes off, go with your hand. Put your hand. Hashem, send a rocket out to sea or send a rocket somewhere else. And you've got the power to do it. Nixiyot miracles. This is the way a Jew has to react according to halacha. Klugsberger Rebbe said, and he brings the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and he brings halacha, brings the Gemara, brings the Megillah. This is the way a Jew must act. And because that was Esther's way of solving the problem, it's called Megillus Esther and not Megillus Mordechai, according to Klugsberger Rebbe. Now we know. Okay, this is it. This is our power. We have to believe in our power of Amunah. Our power to say thank you to Hashem. Our power to pray. And our power to sing and dance. And now you can understand what the Torah says. Torah means when it says, Tachat Hashem, lo abat Hashem lokech b'simcha. That all the bad things befell you because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. What do we serve Hashem with joy? How can I serve Hashem with joy when I have these difficulties? By remembering that Hashem is a loving Father. And Hashem loves me. You tell yourself three words, Hashem loves me. Hashem loves me. Four words, Hashem is my Father. Hashem is my Father. Avinu Mishamayim, Avinu Mishamayim. And when Lazer of Gedolah Hyrcanus prayed for rain, the Gemara tracked in Tanya said he was a tremendous Tana, the leader of the generation. And nobody asked him. Came along about Tshuva, Rabbi Akiva, his student, Rabbi Akiva said two words and he got rain. And Rabbi Lazer said, well, what? He's the beginning of the generation and his prayers didn't yield any results. Rabbi Akiva comes in two words. What are two words Rabbi Akiva said? Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. As soon as you say Hashem, Hashem, you're my Father. Like you said, you slap a paternity suit on Hashem, your Father, the folks, the divine compassion that turns everything around for the best. And that's what Rabbi Nachman told us. Yesh inyan shiyita pecha kol ha-tovah. That there is a matter that everything turns around for the best. And beloved brothers and sisters, we have to not only believe, know that everything going on now, it's all for the best. And I can say, smile, it's not just salon talk. Okay, leave the lesson on the bus right back to the south of Israel. My home, Baruch Hashem. Happy we wouldn't trade the home for all the tea in China. Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem. Thank you Hashem for every single missile. Thank you Hashem for bringing us close to you. Hashem, guard our people in the land of Israel. Guard our soldiers, keep them safe. And Hashem, help us have the strength of Amunah that will bring us the full redemption of our people. Mashiach Tzidkenu and Beit HaMikdash speed in our days. Amen.
Amen.
In a minute, we're going to have a mini lesson this week's Torah portion. Yeah, I know. It's in the holding pattern, David. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Right after the lesson's over, guys, let the women say hello after blessing.